Oh, I thank you for your continued prayers, and hopefully we can look at something that'll be beneficial to everybody today. First thing I'd like to do is everybody pick up your songbooks and turn to your favorite song. Not my favorite song, not the person sitting next to you's favorite song, but your favorite song. If you don't have a song, just turn to a song. Okay. Well, look, just pick a song then. If you can't find your favorite song, just turn to a song. And look down there at the bottom of it, look at the date. That's when that song was written. That's when that song was first come into being. Now then, think about this too. The book that you have in your hand, before the printing press was established, you wouldn't have had a book like this. With the invention of the printing press, which the kids may not know what that is, because everything's computerized now, and print is with the printers, but they actually used to have to put letters in a little deal and then press it against the paper with the ink on the little letters, and that's what made a page have letters on it. Well, that didn't happen until about the 16th century. 1600 years or longer, they didn't have books like what we think of today. Everything was handwritten. Can you imagine? Just look at the book that you have with you, whether it's the songbook or the Bible or whatever it is, and think about having to take a pen and paper and write down those little notes and write down those little words and write down all of those little things that are on that page. Can you imagine doing that? You know how long it takes to fill out a piece of paper? Just imagine how long it would take to make a book like what you have before you. It would take a long time, wouldn't it? So what I'm getting at is, one thing is, just imagine how blessed we are in this day and age that we have what we have. That we have books that those that have come before us have taken, and they have brought all these words and all of these thoughts and all of these things together so that we can enjoy these songs and so that we can enjoy these scriptures. Many of the scriptures were letters, handwritten letters to different people, to churches, and to individuals. And then those letters were copied and given to other people. And there wasn't a book like what we have today. There were just letters. And people would hold on to those letters. And they would copy those letters. And they would get inspiration from those letters. But what was in those letters? What was contained in those letters? Now, I said all that just to get you thinking about it. And that's not really what I want to talk about. But I want you to think about how blessed we are today to have the books that we have, to learn about God in the way that we have the ability to learn about God today. The first place I want to go to is in Job. In the 32nd chapter of Job. And if you know the answer to this, I would welcome you to come give me an idea and a clue, and to give me the knowledge that I so need about this person. And it says, "So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Brachiel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram, against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God." Now my question is, who is Elihu? Because from the very first of Job up to this point, he's not even mentioned. And yet, he has been there through, as we'll see as I read these scriptures, he has been there throughout the conversation between the three miserable comforters that Job had that were questioning him about his situation. So who, if you know, and you can give me a better understanding about who Elihu was, I would really appreciate that. Because I don't know. All I know is that he was there, and that he listened to the conversation. "Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Brachiel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram, against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Brachiel, the Buzite, answered and said, 'I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion.'" And isn't that our situation sometimes? As young children, sometimes we know the answer that our parents are looking for, but we're afraid to speak up. Because I'm not old enough yet. I'm not old enough to really speak up and tell them what I think. And I'm not telling you kids to open up and start telling your parents what to do. I'm not telling you that. I'm just saying that as children, we are frightful to speak up sometimes whenever we know and understand things. And I don't know that Elihu actually understood, but he's got a lot of good thoughts in what he's saying. "Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show mine opinion. I said, 'Days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise.'" And that's true. Great men are not always wise. I see great men on the news all the time, and they are not wise. Amen. Some of the things that they do are just not wise. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore, I said, hearken to me, I also will show mine opinion. Behold, I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reasons, whilst you searched out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job. Not a one of you convinced Job that he was a sinner, or that answered his words, lest you should say, we have found out wisdom. God thrusteth him down, not man. Now he hath not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. And then it says, they were amazed. They answered no more. They left off speaking. And Elihu continues with his thoughts and his opinions. But the point that I wanted to make here is what it says there in the 12th verse. Yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or that answered his words. And my real question today is, who convinces you of sin? Because the three miserable comforters didn't. And what it was saying, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Who convinces you of sin? Now, when I was growing up, and I did things, and I did do a few things. There's some people that witnessed my raising, my growing up. I cannot deny that I was somewhat rambunctious but even though sometimes I didn't feel like I had done anything wrong, they didn't convince me that I had done something wrong. I felt like that I wasn't trying to hurt anybody. I was just living. I was just going about being a little boy and playing and doing things that little boys do. But there were times that nobody had to convince me that I had done something wrong. I knew as soon as I did it that I had done something wrong. Even naturally, we know this, but spiritually, we know this even better. I knew when I broke the rules. I knew when I went outside when I wasn't supposed to. I knew when I turned on the television and I wasn't supposed to. That brings me to, Brother Don has talked about this. I've heard, and I've read, and it's over in John, if you want to go on over there. And I am not going to read the whole chapter. I wish I could, but I'm not going to have time to. But I will start out and Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives.
What chapter?
Number 8. Sorry about that. Eighth chapter of John. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And if you'll notice, there's two people that he's talking about, writing about here. There's two separate Jews or groups of Jews that he's talking about. And the scribes and Pharisees, they're not part of, I mean, they came to him, but they're not part of the crowd that he's teaching. The scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman. And we've all been looking at this, talking about it, taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, and we know what happens. She was accused of being in an adulterous relationship. And they asked him about it, and he just wrote on the ground and kind of ignored them and just went about his business. And they kept pressuring him about it. And he finally says, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. Now, there have been those that suppose that maybe he wrote a particular scripture on the ground, or that he, brought mention of the law about that situation, and it brought them to their awareness, and it convicted them by what was written on the ground, or what he was alluding to is, okay, under the law, which one of you can cast the first stone? And one by one they leave and they depart. That's not the end of it. They're somewhere nearby, because in the 12th verse, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees, see, they're still there. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. See, he's reclaiming the fact that you need two for a witness to convict someone. He's establishing that he is a witness, and that his Father is a witness. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? Who are you? Who are you saying you are? Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Oh, man. There's so much more here. I think I'm going to continue reading. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And what we're going to see here is that they don't understand that even though they're of Abraham's seed, they're still in bondage. They're in bondage to sin. Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That's what you may think you're free because you're Abraham. They weren't even free. They were under Roman law. They may have thought that they were free, but they couldn't do anything without going before the governor of Rome that was over their providence and petitioning him to get or to have permission to do the things that they were wanting to do. They weren't even free enough to go about and do the law as they understood the law and as they practiced the law. They couldn't perform anything without Roman approval. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children, and he's talking about spiritually, if ye were Abraham's children. Now, we know that they were Abraham's children according to the seed and according as to who they were Jews. They were Pharisees and Sadducees. So they were, in accordance with natural law, they were children of Abraham. They were descended from Abraham. But according to the spiritual law, they were not children of Abraham. And so he tells them that. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. And remember how the chapter started out? A woman caught in adultery. We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. They were answering him questions that he was asking them. They were having a conversation. And yet he tells them, Ye cannot hear my words. He's not talking about the words that he's saying. He's talking about the words that are spiritually discerned. And they cannot understand spiritually. Because the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them, for they are foolishness unto him. And the things that he's saying to them are foolishness to them. Ye are of your father the devil. If he's trying to make proselytes, if he's trying to make children out of God, if he's trying to convince men to come and follow him, he's not doing a very good job of it. He's not doing a real good work here, because he's telling these people, your father is not God. Your father is the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. And here's the verse that I wanted to get to. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And here, just as in the case of Job and his three miserable comforters, they didn't convince Job that he was a sinner. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honored my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. This is really going to mess them up, because they heard the word death. You will never die. But spiritually, they don't understand it. And I want to back up just a minute to another part of this chapter about the woman. Whenever the Pharisees and the Sadducees had gone and left her standing there before Christ and before the Israelites that were witnessing this, he asked her, where are your accusers? And she said, there's no one. No one convinced him. No one convinced them that she was a sinner. But if she was a sinner, if she was a child of God, she was convicted in her own heart. And he told her, he said, go and sin no more. Here we have Christ, which of you convinceth me of sin? He's the Son of God. There is no sin in him. And yet, we have some men that are not born of the Spirit trying to convince him that he is a Samaritan, less than a Jew. Because they were half-breeds. They were less than... They didn't have a full claim to Abraham the father. They were lesser people. They were considered lesser. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me, and I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And so he basically declares himself to be God in front of the Pharisees. And so then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. He just went into the crowd and disappeared from the Pharisees that were going to stone him. Which of you convinceth me of sin? That was his question to them. None of them had convinced him of sin. They couldn't convince them, the Israelites, that the woman had sinned. And if you hadn't picked up, my subject today is convincing. What makes it convincing to you that Jesus is the Son of God? Is it because somebody's talking about him? Or is it because there's a conviction in your heart that draws you to him? And I'm in the 18th chapter of Acts. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And that's what I was asking before. If you know something about Elihu, you can teach me. I would love to hear it. And if you can teach me things about God, if you can teach me things about Jesus, I would love to hear it. I would love for each and every one of us to share the thoughts that we have about God and about his righteousness, about God sending his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might get a hold of that we might grasp that in our minds and our conscience, that we might understand that more and more. And so Apollos, he was eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, and he was instructed in the way of the Lord. But knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom Aquila and Priscilla had heard. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Notice how they believed. They believed through grace. And if you're convicted, if you're convinced, If you understand anything about God, it's by grace. By grace, you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It is the very gift of God that we believe and understand the things that we do. Help them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews. How? He was eloquent in speech, and he knew the law. He referred to the law. He kept going back to the Old Testament and showing them how that he was the Messiah, showing them how that Christ was the one that the prophets had written about, showing them that he was the one that would die in the stead of a sacrifice that was necessary to redeem men from their sins. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. He convinced people through the scriptures, and they believed by grace. There's more to it. There's a lot more to it. But I don't think I'm going to have time to get to all of it. But I want you to know that we're convinced of sin because of what is within us. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And that Spirit either excuses us or convicts us. If it excuses us, we're like Job. I didn't do anything wrong. I did not commit a sin for this to be placed upon me. Now, Job recognizes later when he's talking to God that he is a sinner. But when he's trying to be convicted by the three men, the three miserable comforters, he's not convinced that he's a sinner. Because the Spirit is excusing him. The Spirit is excusing, saying, no, you didn't do anything. The Spirit either accuses us or excuses us from the things that we know and see and do. If you're being convicted right now for something that you know you did, it's by the Spirit of God. And if you're excused from that, if people are saying things about you that you know are not true, then it's through the Spirit that you're being excused. I hope and pray that I haven't stepped on anybody's toes, that I haven't said anything that was out of line with Scripture, because it is God that convinces me of my sins. It is God that convinces me. Now, there are people that point it out every now and then, like Brother Gary and Deborah and the people that knew me when I was growing up. But it's from faith to faith. And that's the spirit that it should be delivered in, is from faith to faith. If I see somebody at fault, then I should go to them and I should talk to them about it. And it should be from faith to faith. And I hope that you all understand what I've talked about today, that it has helped you to understand a little bit more about convincing and the things that the Spirit of our God does.